Recording in progress. Why is it funny?
You sounded like Dagestani then, like
Dagestani.
Dagestani stroke Chechnyan.
Oh,
Do you know
first time for everything.
the MMA gym that Layson goes to has porta cabins at the back of it, right? And it's where all the fighters who come over from like Dagestan, Chechnya, wherever else, they live in there during their fight camps in the porta cabins at the back of the gym. They live in the gym.
No way.
How mad is that?
Sick.
I thought it was mad. Literally, they opened the door at the fire exit and just seen for two port cams. Like, what the fuck are they there? She's like, oh, everyone lives there. I was like, everyone lives there. You said that like it's really normal. Oh, mad. Yeah, class, man.
Amazing. You watched 300, did you? What's highlight?
And I haven't, mate, no, because I've just been busy all weekend. But I'm gonna watch it. Am I gonna get time tonight? I'll have an hour tonight to watch it, but yeah. It was a good card, wasn't it? Apparently, in regards to what happened, I seen thingy, Pereira pull the ref away and then just
Oh
land that. It was left hand, wasn't it? He was setting it up for ages, wasn't it? I could see it. He was setting it up, setting it up, setting it up, and he knew, didn't he? He knew he was going to get it. Yeah, and that last 10 seconds of that fucking Holloway and Gaethje fight just sums them both up, doesn't it?
was crazy.
Who was winning on points at that point, though?
Oh, Holloway was by miles.
Oh, really? Did he box his head off? Did he?
He did a. He broke his nose in the first.
Who, Holloway?
Yeah, no,
Right.
Gaethje's nose in the first.
Did he? Man,
So,
that's tough, even for Gaethje then, isn't it?
yeah.
Licking the neck. Hanging on for 5 rounds with a broken nose. Oh, not good. Anyway, less violence. Let's get stuck into these questions. Who's first?
How many different mediums would you suggest using? The more, the better, but. What would you say is the minimum to build relationships and display your value? For example, gym floor, email, Facebook, Instagram, posters, etc.
It's a good question that. I used to say, like, dominate 2 or 3 areas. And don't spread yourself too thin. So just really go in on the 3 main areas your market are. And I think, do you know what? I think I still stick by it. It's not like a rule, is it, or anything like that. I just think that if you know for a fact, like say my gym floor PT, so I'm guessing someone who's asked this question are because they put gym floor. The way to look at gym floor marketing is primary and secondary, I think. Primary is you making sure that you're in front of people, whether that's conversations and all of that, plus maybe doing workshops, seminars, and stuff like that in the gym, driving people to be in front of you. Secondary is the posters, the pop-up banners, and all of that type of stuff. What's important is you'll have less time as you get busy to do the primary stuff. That's why the workshops and seminars work so well. So I would say if you're a gym floor PT and you try to sell one-to-one PT or small group PT, you'd be absolutely deluded not to be delivering in both angles on that gym floor. And then I would look at, I would look at the 1 or 2 online platforms your market spend most of their time in. So if that's Instagram and email, or Facebook and email, or LinkedIn and email, or Facebook and I would look at two definite social media platforms. The ones that come to mind are going to be Facebook and Instagram. And then I would always, I personally don't know a demographic that wouldn't benefit from you having email marketing too as well. So, and I know that's probably 3 or 4, but for me, I would double down on them 3, maximum 4, and not spread yourself much thinner than that personally. Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Anything you would add to that?
I'd add making sure that you have mediums for both short form, i.e. attention, awareness, and long form, nurturing, whether that email, podcast, YouTube, whatever. So, but apart from that, no.
What are some other ways of delivering content on social media? I've been doing 45 to 60 seconds talking to camera reels and carousels, but feel the need to mix things up delivery-wise.
I think one that isn't utilized is going live. So going live, I think can be utilized very well. I think, I also think it's a way, it's, listen, there's only so many ways you can present it in a format, in formats like carousel, single pics, reels, so forth and so forth. There's only, you know, those ways, but it's more, I believe, more of a how you present them in regards to creating engagement, you know, the different objectives behind, you know, the different formats, i.e. reels for reach, maybe carousels for saves, for shares, so forth and so forth. And all leading back to essentially prompting engagement, in my opinion. So, you know, straight away, do shorter, like 5 to 15 second reels, which prompts people to read the caption. Do, you know, again, like it's all, I think, framing it in different ways, to be honest, rather than coming up with new formats. There's only certain number of formats you can actually use, and how stories really link in with everything as well. I think, again, right now, stories are the one thing that people are utilizing more, and people are paying more attention to. So creating awareness and engagement through your posts and trying to sell and create conversations through your stories, I think, is the strategy at the moment that's working. Anything you'd add?
No, just think about, spoke to Dave about this last week, about trying to find an element of fun in what you're doing. So like, if it's, it depends on like what it is that you're marketing and so on. But like, let's say for argument's sake, there's two things that spring to mind at the minute is A, giving people a view of what you do, but it doesn't necessarily need to be just a video and then some text over it. Maybe just you being a like talk over stuff. So voiceover stuff, like, I think is a good way to A, give people an insight into what you're doing, whether that's coaching a client, whether that's walking through, I don't know, you're filming yourself going through or giving feedback on a check-in. And then you're walking people through and giving an insight of that, or a client's progress or a client's journey or a program that you're doing for a client. Like that type of insight, I think, is important. And then like that whole, and I don't mean to be a trending wanker here, but that point of view content is quite popular at this moment in time. So your point of view on certain things, then that might be, again, you doing a voiceover, you doing a talking reel. It might be you doing a shorter reel with text over it. But it's trying to find a couple of additional things that you enjoy doing, because I think that's when your best work comes out.
How would you best keep track of clients' current wants, needs, goals, and all these individual elements if you tend to be a little bit forgetful?
Yeah, I think like that as you grow as well is quite tough. So I would have a central place for whenever you've done, let's say, for example, you've built out goals off the back of a consultation. I'd have a profile, whether you use software or whether you use Google Sheets, for example, I'd have a profile for each client. So then if I need to feedback, like I'll give an example, is I've just fed back to a coach and a PT who have done their check-in this week. And I have to then go, right, are they focused on the right areas at this moment in time? Let me go back to their goals. So without me having that place on a central place, like we use a system for it, but I'd be the same because it's busy, isn't it? And all that type of stuff that gets in the way. So I would have a central place, whether it's Google Sheets or whether it's on your software, where you can just drop in and go, right, Nick, remind me of the last review. We went through these goals. This is what he's really focused on. These are the markers of success at this moment in time. Right, bang. But I'd have that as like a profile for every single client where I've got it stored that I can refer to on the regular, on every single week, more or less. So yeah, that would be my feedback. What would you say, Nick? Anything to add?
Nope.
Okay. It's just updating in a second. I hope this next person's asked a question. No, they cannot think of one. Next one's not sure. If you were to start social media again, would there be anything you would do differently? And what three things do you think helps with coming across as yourself and not as a persona?
Good question. I think it sounds pretty cliche a little bit, but it when you start your business profile, and it was, I've had this conversation literally within the last few days, you tend to think information, don't you? You tend to think fitness, you tend to think nutrition, you tend to think recipes, exercise, do's and don'ts, like the typical kind of stuff, like you think of information. And I think one massive thing that is missing is you and your lifestyle, showing people what you do, what you like, what you don't like, because ultimately that will attract people who you can generate a common ground with really quickly and really efficiently with less energy. You're not trying. And I think that's really important. Like most coaches now present their social media really well. They have good graphics. They're good on camera. There's an opportunity to get editors in for videos and add emojis in and bits and pieces like that. What I think a lot of coaches don't do is just have confidence of going, well, I'm going to talk about what I like and what I don't like and what I'm interested in, what I'm not interested in, and show what I do on the weekend. And the thing is that the immediate reaction off the back of that is, well, I don't think anyone will find it interesting. It's normal. It's my day to day. So what should I show? And I think this is what I said to this one coach who's in this position, is that his content's great, the information's great, it's bang on. But you don't know him at all through his content. And that's what he said back. And I said to him, like, one thing you can take over the last 15 years is that, and what the media has told us, is that people, it doesn't have to be extravagant for people to be interested in stuff. Like one of the most popular TV shows in the world right now, and it's across the world, is a TV show of people watching TV. Like that is, it's boring. There's nothing extravagant about it. It's just people, what people do. So my main point off the back of this is that you can't be interested and force yourself to be interested in stuff because you think other people may like it or may not like it and may be interested and may not be interested. You just got to do you. And that is how you're going to get across your persona and you as a person. There's no other secret to it. Like if you haven't got kids, you can't really talk about kids. If you don't like a sport, I don't like football, so I don't talk about football. I don't watch football. It's not, you know, I like MMA, like what me and we're just starting. It's, you know, you can't fake that shit. So I think being confident and putting yourself out there is the only way you're going to do that. Anything to add?
No, you just remind me of a chat I had with, I don't think he'll mind me saying his name, Bob, last week in regards to if I'm trying to attract a demographic of males who are into their sport and have lost themselves a little bit in regards to physically and because of their career and family life and all of that, but they're well into sport and it's probably a big passion of theirs, then a lot of my content would be based around sport. Do you know what I mean? Especially if I'm into it. So it makes it more enjoyable. Do you know what I mean? Will it get people and follow you from previously? Well, yeah, but you'll get the right people eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's much more enjoyable. So yeah, 1,000,000%. Next.
So far. I am taking too long to do things. It takes hours rather than minutes. I also get into too much detail and struggle to keep things simple. I think more is better. I also talk too much. How can I reframe my thoughts into thinking less is better?
I don't want to sit on the fence and say it very much depends this. And I've gone back to this person this morning and said this. I think if you're taking too long to do things, I think for me, are you clear on the outcomes of them focuses is really important. So are we focused on the one, two right things? And am I clear on the outcomes that I'm going to get from that? Because if I am, it makes doing them things a little bit easier. So all I would say is, A, make sure that you're focused on the right things. And if you're thinking, well, how do I know? Well, it has to align with your goals or your plan or the markers of success that you should have arranged for your business, right? So clear on your focuses, clear on the outcomes of them focuses, and then you'll probably find that things take you a little bit less time because then you are not drifting because you've got this choice of, oh, I'm not sure where this is going or anything like that. In regards to going into the detail and struggling to keep things simple and thinking is more is better, well, it might be for you. So I think, and I know there'd be certain if we're sat here talking like is more better on Instagram, or we're not talking about that. We're talking about how you work. And I think what's important is you've got to look at what gets the best out of you. And if that is initially you writing, I don't know, a four-page bleeding email to then eventually get feedback on it to narrow it down a little bit, but still, that's your style. And if that's what you're good at and you put out and then you've attracted clients off the back of it, well, clearly it works for you. So I think sometimes it depends on the task, but some things should take us a while. And if we get the best out of ourselves by going into detail, and it takes a couple of goes and all of that. Well, that's just who you are and how you, like I keep saying, how you get the best out of yourself. So I wouldn't see it too much of a negative because you could say, how can I reframe things to think less is better? It might not be. It very much depends on what it is that you're doing. So all I would do is I think the biggest thing for that is make sure you're clear on your focuses and clear on your outcomes. Because I think that narrows down choice for you to drift away. And then if that's the case, then you can work through that stuff. And you know what the things that you're working on are the right things, regardless how much time it's taking you. Now, if it's taking you too much time because you're procrastinating and putting things off and it's becoming a bit, I don't know, like you're avoiding it and all of that, well, that's it's a different story, isn't it? Then we've got to set some consequences in sometimes within our work to make sure that we get shit done in the time frame that we need it to be done. So apart from that, I would say embrace that a little bit. If it gets the best out of you, let it happen. Put some consequence on your work in regards to the time. Like this, I've shared this before. There's many a times where if I've got a project to do, I will put consequence on it to make sure I get it done. Because being self-employed, you let yourself off the hook a hell of a lot. So yeah, I would add some consequence into your work and then put some pressure on yourself. But yeah, I'm just going around the houses now. But anything you'd add?
No.
Cool. Next one. A client goes on holiday and misses one, maybe two sessions. You have them on a monthly direct debit, not block booking. Do you pick up their missed sessions or do they forfeit them? And how do you approach that conversation if it's not been clear in your T's and C's?
It's difficult because I guess it depends on what they are expecting. And if it's not clear in the T's and C's, yeah, that's a really difficult one to answer, to be honest. Because even if the client perceives they are paying on a monthly basis for, let's say, eight sessions on average, then and they miss two, so you're owed their, and they feel they're owed two, they'll probably ask for them. That's a really difficult. I can't answer that really because it really depends on their expectations if it's not clear in the T's and C's. But because you've identified it's not clearing the T's and C's, the very first thing I would do is get that redone, check it over, send it over, and get that out and reintroduce that to the client. I think that's huge. Yeah, it's a really difficult one to answer because it could go either way. My initial thing is, if you're not sure what they expect, wait until they ask. That's the only way you're going to understand. But the first thing is to solve all of this is take the guesswork out and let's analyze your T's and C's and get them back out. Anything you'd add?
No.
How do you stay focused when there are more distractions than usual, school holidays, relationship stress, etc.?
It makes hard, sad, like it is really difficult. Yeah, and it's really hard to not park that, suppose, frustration, distraction, emotion of anything that's going on personally that will get dragged into you professionally, because you are your business, aren't you, at the end of the day? So it can sometimes really demotivate you in regards to the amount of work that you put out. But what I will say is very similar to the answer that I gave before, is that, let's say, for example, you're saying school holidays. Well, having set non-negotiables for your business and expectations that you do each week should help with that, because like I expect less of myself work-wise when there's school holidays. It's just a fact, because potentially I'll have to do a little bit more, or the workload will have to just be a little bit less, because you are your business at the end of the day, most of the time. So I would make sure there's a couple of things. Clear on what it is that you're focused on, clear on them outcomes, so similar to what I said before, and then clear on your weekly kind of non-negotiables, because what will happen is that even if relationship stress, school holidays, and anything that creeps in, you know that there's minimum non-negotiables that need to be done for your business. And that's quite reassuring that if you just tick them off in a meaningful and purposeful way, then it's not getting in the way of the business. So the clearer you can start to become on them things, the easier the personal life stuff won't creep in too much, because they're the bare non-negotiables that need to be done. So that's what, in my opinion, keeps me focused. Anything you'd add?
Wasn't really listening, but
well, that's fucking rude, isn't it?
The only thing I'd add is getting super, super, super clear on goals. Oh, that's a lot of feedback. Yeah, getting super clear on your goals. If you're not, and you've got less time and more distractions, then you're going to be doing things that are quick that you like to do, rather than stuff that you potentially don't like doing and but need to do, which are in line with your goal. So, yeah. Apart from whatever Ant said, that as well. That's it.
Right, is it?
No, there's one more.
Is that all the questions?
I think there's one more. Actually, is there one more?
There's much. Let's have a look. No, there's not. That's it.
That's fantastic.
Brilliant. I'll get my work done.
What final thoughts have you had this week?
What final thoughts do I have? I'll leave with that what I said on my stories this morning. I'll leave with a serious one. That at this time of year, especially, the majority of the habits that most coaches build in January and February to get busy start to drop, a bit like a client and their fat loss goals. So all of them habits start to drop. And because of that, the outcomes and results and meeting your expectations in terms of new clients or clients leaving, and it can start to be a bit of a worrying time of year. But I would give yourself a reality check on a couple of things. A, have you had a bit of time away from the business to reset and come at it with a bit more energy and motivation? And the other one is the reality check being, how many people are you currently helping and giving value to aside of the people who are paying you and maybe the odd posts you're doing on social media, especially if you're a gym floor PT? Like, how many people are you going out of the way to help that aren't paying you, like in person and on your social media as well? And I challenge yourself on them things, because sometimes it can make us feel like we're probably, I don't know, struggling or hard done by or feeling a bit sorry for ourselves a little bit, but really the inputs don't match the expectations because you've either not had time off or you don't want to go back over the high energy things that got you into that position in the first place in January and February. So that is what I'd like to leave people with, Nick. What are your thoughts on that?
Great.
There we go. Well, have a great day. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.